two more, so I'll just give. Okay, awesome. So it looks like everyone's here. I'm going to pass it to Joe and Zan, our co-hosts, to kick off. Thanks for joining, everyone.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, welcome, everyone. I'm excited for this SnapAR Black History Month creative discussion. And I'm here with Zan. So by way of introduction, I'm Joe Darko, head of AR Developer Relations at Snap, based in Atlanta, Georgia. Zan, do you mind introducing yourself?
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Hey, everyone. I'm Zan. I lead AR Developer Partnerships at Snap, and I'm based in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Excited for this.
Great. Zan, quick question for you before we go to creators on this call. What is AR Developer Partnerships and what does your team do at Snap?
Yeah, it's a great question, Joe. So we partner with the vast AR developer ecosystem globally to really push the medium forward. We partner on projects and concepts that developers have ideas around across the world. And so we'll partner to bring those projects to life. And it's a really fun job. And so our team gets to meet incredibly talented AR developers from all over the world.
Thank you, Zan. I really appreciate it. And I'm glad Zan is my co-host. He's my partner in crime at work. I enjoy working with him. So, hey, this just fits perfectly. So before we move on, I would love for our creators to also introduce themselves. We have Jasmine. We have Catherine. We have Dea. I hope I'm saying it right. We have Sarzi. And we have Enoch. Do you all mind just introduce yourself, where you live, and how you got into AR?
Yeah, I can go first. So my name is Dia, and currently I reside in Los Angeles, California. I've been doing AR for about 2.5 years, and I actually got into it as like a, I don't know, like a conversation piece when I was applying for grad school. I had gotten into a technology conference, and I was like, what can I do to like set myself apart from other candidates that would be interesting and fun and something to just really talk about during interviews. So I did some research and I started learning more about AR design. And then that's how I found Snapchat in the Lens Creator program. So I put my portfolio together, I applied, I got accepted, and just started making lenses from there.
That's an interesting journey and story. Thank you. Let's go to Jasmine.
Hi, my name's Jasmine. I'm also in the Los Angeles area. And yeah, I would say that I came from AR less actually from a creative perspective. I think it's shifted and more from just like an engineering perspective about like, it was a while ago, probably like in 2012. And this was a while ago. This was actually when Vuforia, which is like the marker-based tracking, was still like academic research. And so I knew some of the people that developed Vuforia, which is now like, you know, integrated into systems and everything. So yeah, I think it was like more of a transition from looking at it from like a purely engineering side to looking at it from a more consumer angle, I think is what I've been doing recently for the past like 4 or 5 years. But yeah, thank you everyone for joining.
Thank you, Jasmine. Let's go to Catherine.
Hello, I'm Catherine, and I'm based in Memphis, Tennessee. So I guess I got into augmented reality in 2018. It was kind of a natural transition from virtual reality for me. I just like all immersive things and just playing with fun immersive technologies, and toys, and stuff. But but yeah, that's I guess that's it's just kind of how I came into it. So yeah.
Thank you, Catherine. Let's go to Sarzi.
Hey everyone, I'm Sharzi, based in New York. And so kind of similar to other people where I started out in another field, I started out getting certified in Unity and was doing like low level game development. It was great, loved it, but then I loved the idea of doing more storytelling. So I started getting into like Blender and doing animations in there. And then over some time, I just learned that there was this whole program of like Snap and offering options where you can create filters. And I didn't know that it, like all this is free. And so I just started doing a lot of self-learning, lots of YouTube, lots of late nights, but I ended up here and just really excited for past about 3 years now.
Thank you, Sarzi. And finally, Enoch.
Hey, last but not least, right? Hi, what's up, guys? I'm Enoch. I am based in New York, right? I've been developing in the AR space for quite some time now, right? So at a young age, I was kind of always really interested in the XR space, right? The VR, AR side of things. And that's kind of been my like whole entire innuendo or just motivation towards just pushing forward. And I kind of started with just like the basic concepts, right? Which gradually led into like more involved projects, right? Messing around with like hand tracking, shared multiplayer experiences, gamification and AR, and you know, the list goes on. So that's kind of how I kind of just got into AR, got to meet like a bunch of really cool people like Joe. And yeah, for the most part, yeah, that's it.
Thank you so much, Enoch. And it's an honor. So these wonderful creators, by the way, they are also Snap Lens Network members. And the Snap Lens Network is a network of developers, partners, and creators in our ecosystem, whom we bring closer to us as Snap to engage with and also support in the endeavor in AR. So these are wonderful, wonderful creators that we have in our ecosystem. Now, what is the Black History Month initiative? So during Black History Month, internally, we had the idea of showcasing the creativity of our wonderful Black creators. So the first phase of the initiative, we showed some of the lenses they've created as Black creators. And the second part of the initiatives, our creators also created lenses around specific themes on Black History Month. The first one is the rare and untold stories, whereby they shared overlooked facts about Black experience and history. The next one is theme was revisiting history and the promise of tomorrow, where they created lenses which recognize how far we've come by spotlighting significant accomplishments and ideals for the future. And the next one was about the diaspora, which is discussing Black history as it applies to the diaspora, celebrating our differences and coming together in a shared lineage. So a lot of these, all these creators on the call today, on this space today, created these experiences and actually told their stories through these lenses. Zen, do you have anything for our creators?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Joe. So, you know, for the five developers and creators that we have on the call who created lenses for this year's collection, you know, what was your thought process and how did you come up with your lens concept? And really maybe even going into, you know, what was your approach in defining the lens concept overall? So maybe for our listeners, if each of you can provide, you know, just like a high level overview of what the concept was. And then what was your thought process? How did you come up with the concept overall? I believe we started with Jasmine last time. Jasmine, do you mind if we start with you again?
Yeah. I think Daya started, but it's fun. I can start. Yeah, I think so. For the two lenses that I did, I really, like I said, I think sometimes it's interesting to like distill things into storytelling instead of like looking at something being, you know, super technical, just looking at, okay, what is simple that would resonate with people. And, you know, something that I like, stories that I knew growing up, like, you know, what happened in Tulsa, what Juneteenth is, like what happened in Allensworth. Those are stories that like Black families tell each other, but a lot of those weren't really in the public eye until they were sort of, you know, fictionalized by like, you know, an HBO show. Or, you know, after what happened in 2020, then, you know, the general public became aware of Juneteenth. So it was just telling, like, it was just, I guess my thought process was just telling stories. And I mean, to be transparent, I just asked my family which stories they would tell. And just immediately they were like, oh, Buffalo Soldiers and Tuskegee Airmen, because actually one of the the last living Tuskegee Airmen passed away like 3 weeks ago. And he's around the area. Like, my parents have met him in Costco before. And he'll hand out pens. And then for Buffalo Soldiers, like, I do have family that lives in Texas, and like, a lot of people aren't aware that like almost a quarter of Cowboys were actually Black, right? And a lot of, like, just because of the way that it was represented in Hollywood, like, most people are just unaware of that fact. And then I just really wanted it to be sort of like storytelling geared towards, like, so even a kid could look at it. And so I just wanted to just sort of incorporate that. And so Snap has really great templates, extremely great. So I would recommend people look in those. And so just, you know, modeling the characters and then making sure to overlay a story on top of the character so that people can know the stories that I grew up with. So, yeah, that was my my thought process.
That's amazing. And then why don't we go to Catherine next?
All right. So the thought process behind my lens, which are Buna shades, I'm a big coffee person. I grew up drinking coffee since I was 3 because apparently my mom said it helps fight ear infections, but I don't know. It was just weird, you know. My mom doesn't tell me to do, yeah, whatever. But I wanted to highlight kind of like this not well-known fact that coffee has Black origins, and it originated in Ethiopia. I think the legend has it that, like, this goat herder notices his goats eating like coffee beans, and they were heavily caffeinated and energized, and kind of shared that discovery. So I have like a front-facing filter that is kind of like this kind of Afrofuturistic coffee in shades thing that you can shake your head and the coffee will move. And then the back-facing side has like a Jebina coffee jug that's pouring into like this little Ethiopian cup on like the Ethiopian wood block, and actually the cup is on the city where coffee was originated from, and it has just a couple of little historical notes on it that you can tap through about like it's originated in Ethiopia and that. The goat herder portion of it. So, but yeah, just big coffee nerd, and wanted to incorporate that into like a Black History Month lens.
I love that. I'm also a big coffee nerd too. So, all right, can we go? Let's go to Daya next.
Thank you. I also love coffee, so I love that story. But for one of my filters I created, I just love seeing award season just like ended. I feel like a bulk of it just ended. So just looking at the media and seeing all the, you know, Black entertainers and singers and producers and actors and actresses winning these awards. I just loved seeing that, these positive wins in the media so often. And I'm obsessed with just learning old music facts in Black history. So I really wanted to showcase something that would, like, I don't know, some parts of history where, and I think the original category that this was under was Ancestors' Wildest Dreams. So I wanted to like figure out some old music facts in Black history that I could turn into a lens. So the one that I created was like this Hall of Firsts. So I created a gallery of the first Black women in entertainment and music to win a Grammy, an Oscar, a Tony Award, an EGOT. And yeah, I put that on in a walkthrough portal for people to go through and like learn about these women. The first one was obviously Hattie McDaniels, who won the first Oscar for Gone with the Wind. And in that experience, I even included her acceptance award speech, just so that people can hear these stories, because some people may not know like who the first Black person or Black woman was to win these awards. And there's still some like discrepancies when it comes to award shows, but I just thought, I don't know, I just loved seeing it in the media, because it took a while for the Black community to be acknowledged and appreciated in these fields, in these disciplines. So I just really wanted to showcase that. And I'm a big like music person, so this was perfect for me to do.
I love that. I love how you added and included the acceptance speech and like able to bring people back to that moment. Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
Thank you.
All right. And I think next up, can we go to Enoch?
Yeah, for sure. So I decided to create two different experiences also. Right. So the first one, I wanted to focus more on the history of individuals who made significant contributions, but were not really as mentioned as much throughout time, were a little bit overshadowed despite their great accomplishments, right? And the second, I kind of wanted to focus more on a storytelling concept of the idea of freedom, right? So usually whenever Black History Month comes around, the main focus is mostly catered around like the civil rights movement, Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King, right? Malcolm, Louis Armstrong. So for the history, I kind of decided to include a little bit more variety into the mix, right? So for example, we have Phyllis Wheatley, who was the first African-American female author, right? She was like around the 1750s. You have Gladys West, who played a significant role in the development of the GPS, but her name wasn't exactly as out. It was when I was talking to my sister, and then her name came up. It's like, oh, wait, I've never really heard about her. And then I did some research and whatnot. And then there's like Marley Van Britten Brown, who was known for like the first home security system, right? And the list kind of goes on. So I kind of wanted to shine like a light on them. And then from my freedom lens, I kind of wanted people to feel a little bit more involved, immersed in the lens, right? So I created, or I utilized like a lot of hand tracking concepts, because what's AR without a little bit more immersion, right? Really add more AR concept into the mix, right? Not just showcasing a 3D model, but really get people to interact with the augmented stuff, right? And so how I kind of came up with my idea for freedom, at first I was like sitting around when I got the request and I was like, what can I do, right? And it kind of took a little bit, but the concept of freedom kind of came into mind, because in a way we are all kind of still tied down to something. And Black History Month does represent like the celebration of obtaining another venue of freedom. I would say there are different varieties or different multiple venues of freedom, and this was just one way that they acquired freedom, right? And then also in our day and age, we kind of all have parts of our lives where we would love to have freedom in, right? Because there's just like I had to figure out a way to just incorporate, sure, it's Black History Month, but I also want everyone to feel a little more inclusive in the experience, right? So the visuals were for Black History Month, but the feeling invoked with the feeling of freedom was more for just everyone included, right? And so that was kind of just like my idea, my whole gimmick into just going with creating my lens. I wanted to create a lens that was like more inclusive, that, yeah. So that's kind of my idea.
Yeah, I love that. I love how you use these lenses to further educate people and also bring empathy into this. So thanks for sharing, Enoch. And I think the last, before we go to the next question. So I believe we have Shaz. Is it Sharzi?
Yep, that's perfect, Sharzi.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone. So I also created two lenses, and similar to everyone else here with their with the storytelling theme, I did just something similar. I kind of have like a past and present filter. So the past filter is a little bit more of the recent past, kind of how I grew up. I grew up in the Bronx around a very strong hip hop culture. And so you'll see that in one of the filters, it's like a scene of growing up in New York City. You're going to see graffiti, someone breakdancing, but understanding that like breakdancing actually originated in New York City as a way of self-expression. And it actually Michael Jackson's moonwalk is based off of breakdancing. You're going to see like some woman that's dancing in front of a hair salon. And it comes from Rosa Morgan, who actually created a hair salon in New York City in 1945. Making $3 million, but in 1945 as a Black woman, specifically for African-American skincare and our health. And I thought it was pretty amazing to showcase that, but like looking at how we see New York City as just so much more diverse than we would probably remember. And then for the future one, I have a portal that you can walk through. And when you walk into the portal, you'll see like a young child sitting down looking at three versions of themselves. But in it was the idea of same thing, like the ancestors' wildest dreams kind of thing, and looking how far we come, that you can have this kid looking at, you know, this African-American kid looking at versions of himself at any role, whether it's engineering, robotics, and just, you know, our wildest dreams. We never thought we could be in a space to just have access to absolutely anything. So those are my two filter concepts.
Awesome. Thanks. Thanks, Sharzi. Thanks to all of you for sharing the overview for each of your lenses. Joe Darko, I'm going to pass it back over to you for the next question.
Zan, you'd also mention my full government name, Joe Darko. But thank you all for those wonderful answers. I know you all, but I feel like I should definitely continue to spend more time with you. So because I feel like the idea and the thought process that went behind these lenses have just been so inspiring. So I'm going to spend more time with you all so I could learn more. But my next question, and this is going to be more of like a popcorn style, whoever wants to answer can just go ahead and just answer. So my next question to this group of creators is, by the way, once again, thank you also all the listeners who have joined. I've seen some people that I know. Francis, welcome. Craig, welcome as well. It's great to have you all here. So my next question to the creators is what is your mission as a lens creator? As a lens creator, lens developer, what is your mission and what do you hope to show within any lens that you create? And what feelings do you want to invoke, right? I know it's more of a creative bend to the lenses you create, but we want to understand and we want the audience to understand your mission as a lens creator, what you hope to show within the lenses you create and the feelings you want to evoke as a creator.
I can go. I am a huge, huge storytelling person. I feel like I've always just focused on that with any type of art that I've created throughout my life. I've been a big art person since I was younger. So as a lens creator, I really want my mission to be intertwining AR and more immersive experiences into Black cultural things. Because I just love like figuring out new ways to further engage the audience or the user or the customer or the client, just to like push the envelope on the storytelling aspect. So I really want to bring this type of technology because it's still pretty new, it's still growing. So there's still so much that we can learn about it as it progresses and how it keeps improving the more that that we use it. So I really just want to pull that into the Black community for different projects and products and campaigns and rollouts. I just want to, just merge the two because I feel like it's a magical type of design field. And a lot of the Black community, there's a lot of different paths to, or career paths that we still don't know about. So if I could like pull that into that community and just bring more awareness to it, more people would be interested in it and involved in it. And it could just be this this normal thing that just comes up with the products that we produce as a community. So that's my main mission, just to like intertwine it with the Black community and everything that we produce.
That's impactful. Anyone else, Jasmine? I see you ready to speak.
Yeah, I think so. I wouldn't consider myself like an artist, but I've always like been someone who's creative. And I think that a lot of times when you're looking at frameworks, you realize that even if we have technology that's already here in the present, a lot of the crucial imagination work like isn't being done. And the thing is, I always like go back to nostalgia. And so a lot of who I am has always been informed by like what I've read. And so like the first things I remember reading was like Proverbs, right? So like Aesop's fables or even just Proverbs from a book, like different mythologies. And so that's always resonated with me, which is why I kind of sort of like have a, I don't know what you would say, like a sort of like childlike or more, I guess like more geared towards children than anything else, because I think that's the headspace that I go back to when I look in, when I am doing AR experiences, particularly because it's actually a chance for me to escape from like working on more of the framework aspect of AR. But also one thing I think that's really important is like humans evolve like from our ability to storytell. And one thing that I actually learned from someone who was not Black, but they were Brazilian, and Brazil actually has, there's a lot of elements of Black culture that are more celebrated in Brazil because they have a large Black population. And he was explaining that like oral history and like the spoken word and storytelling and visual art is like very important in African culture, right? Whereas like in Western culture, it's almost like things aren't valid until they're written down. But then, you know, just sort of, we were just discussing just like in terms of like, you know, different religions, like African religions, right? So like the religions of my ancestors from like thousands of years ago at this point, that a lot of the way that information was shared was through oral storytelling. And so I just find that like very powerful. And I think because AR, a lot of AR like isn't text-based. I mean, mine happens to have text overlaid on top of it, but a lot of AR is more sensorial. I just feel like it's almost like an homage to that sort of like ancestry that, to be frank, I don't really have access to because of like the history of like just, you know, African Americans in this country. So even just like the power of storytelling, I feel like connects people in the diaspora like back to their roots. And that's something that I really am passionate about and care about.
Thank you, Jasmine. I learned a lot about Brazil. I learned a lot about the oral history of storytelling. That's amazing. Anyone else want to take that question? Charzy, Catherine, Enoch?
Yeah. I actually don't mind. I actually wanted to piggyback off of actually what both of them are saying. In that concept of, A, you know, bringing more stories, I would hope the same thing is finding my voice. As an AR creator, but also similar to what Dave was saying in reference to bringing it into our community, I've met so many amazing creative people growing up in the Bronx that I'm like, you know, there's other avenues of careers and other avenues of showing your story or showing your talents through AR. And sometimes it can be a little intimidating, or they're stopping at just thinking it can be, you know, just a face filter, but understanding how widespread it can be. And so I would love to continue sharing my work, continue letting people see like, all of us can literally do this, and hope that it kind of, you know, gets into the Bronx community as much as possible.
Thank you. And the next question, once again, popcorn style, and I will love, for each and every one of you to answer this question. So how do you think AR is currently impact culture, or how AR could impact culture maybe in the future?
All right, so I can go with that. So I could say that there are just a couple of ways that I would say AR can impact culture, right? So, for example, you can utilize AR to create immersive experiences, right, that allow people to explore and interact with history, cultural artifacts, right, cultural sites, etc., right? So a great example would be, let's say, go into a museum and really add in more of a augmented experience to it, right? Really bringing things to life, helping people feel like invoke a similar feeling to how they felt back in the day. I feel like that's really possible with AR, right? You could also even go into the venue for like educational purpose, right? Educational purposes, right? Where for one, it is one thing to read about something, right? Sure, you could let your imagination take over, and just based off the words that you're reading, you're able to just engulf the information. But if you also couple that with AR and really bring in that imagery into life, that also really adds more of a great aspect on it. Whereas a lot of people, or some people, are visual learners as well. So I think that also is another venue. And AR also just, it enables a lot of options for just new forms of expression, right? So especially with like art direction, storytelling, that's been taken off because AR does incorporate a lot of those features where you could just take your imagination, throw it into a modeling software, create whatever you want to create, and then share that out to the world where people are immersed into your idea, your vision that you had, and just like, oh, this is pretty cool. And they get to take away from it and create something of their own, and vice versa. And the list kind of just goes on, but that's just the little things I think that AR can help impact culture.
Catherine, do you want to answer this as well?
Yeah, I can definitely, like, kind of piggybacking off of what Enoch's saying, it augments kind of historical information. It's kind of like a time, like augmenting like a sense of time with between the now and the past, as well as it can tell like stories in meaningful ways. And I don't know, it kind of gives a sense of magic, wonder, and superpowers to the audience. So I think that's a really interesting thing with like augmented reality. I'm thinking of it more from a creative standpoint, but yeah, just kind of think of it like as a ultimate like superpower with culture and storytelling. Whether you want to tell a story from the past, the present, the future, or you want to highlight untold stories, I think it's just a very interesting and exciting tool.
Yeah, and I also wanted to just piggyback on what everyone else has said. Just the technology that Snap has also been coming out with, like the whole cloth simulation, and like I've really been intrigued more by the clothing options. Like, there's just so many ways you can kind of say, okay, these are the clothing that I grew up with or that I like wearing, and then you can kind of create your voice in that platform. So I think, yeah, like literally having the opportunity to take your exact perspective and sharing that with so many people in such an easy way, like, hey, just use a Snap code and look at my vision. I think that's awesome. So it has a huge impact there.
Thank you. And Zan, do you want to take the next question?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have this last question before we go to Q&A and our outro, but similar style as Joe was doing is more popcorn style, but in all of your experience working as an AR developer, as an AR creative, what advice would you give emerging creators and emerging developers, or even people who are thinking about entering the space? And I would say that this can be either technical or even just inspirational. So whatever comes to mind in terms of just advice that you would give potential people who are looking to enter this space, and what would that advice be?
I'll go. Definitely don't be afraid to, like, you know, experiment, explore. Definitely, like, experiment, even if it's on a small scale build. Getting your feet wet into the space is, like, always a great step forward if you're trying to get into, like, augmented reality, whether augmented reality, virtual reality, or whatever immersive technology you want to get into. Think of it as a playground. Think of it as your Legos, if you will, your Lego set you want to play with. Definitely reach into that. Sorry, I'm thinking from like a fun toy example. Definitely reach out into that toy box and play and explore. And feel free to share with, let's say there's a group of people who have the same interest. Feel free to get a group of people like, hey, let's do this thing. We're all new to this, and kind of group learning together. Kind of game jam it, if you will. So that's the advice I would give.
Yeah, I liked the term you used, playground. I feel like I said before, this field is very new and it's still growing so rapidly. So if you want to get into this space, just go for it. Do research. There's like YouTube videos. Twitter is a great space to reach out to other AR creators. And that's where I get a lot of information. That's how I meet other people as well. Yeah, just go for it. Do passion projects. If there's something that you see that you interact with every day, and you think like, how could this story be pushed with AR? Like, how could I turn this into a project? How could I share this with other people? I would just go for it. That's basically how I got started. I just started looking at different problems. I was looking at it towards like a more like a tool than just creativity, because you can have fun with it, but also think about it like, how could I improve the life around me using AR? So when I started getting into it, I was thinking like, what can I see in my surroundings that could be improved, that could be pushed with AR? And how can I fit that into, like, how can I mold that into a career for myself? because when you're doing this type of work for like as like freelance, some people don't always think of it as like a fun space. Sometimes they really want to know, like, how can we use this to impact our audience or the culture around us? Like, how can this be more utilitarian? So just like thinking about it in other aspects of your life is also a good exercise to like getting into this type of field.
Thanks, Dia. So just jump in is what I'm hearing. Any others have any thoughts on this?
Yeah. I guess.
Okay. Oh. Go for it, Jasmine.
No, I was just going to say, frankly, just to use Snap, right? So like use Snap tools like Lens Studio, because it's probably the easiest entry point to the field. And this is coming from someone that's like been doing AR for 10 years, right? Because a lot of times, basically SDKs and APIs and everything, they change every 3 months. So if you have a project, it's really hard for that project to sort of persist over time. But, you know, Snap is very unique in the fact that they have their own ecosystem. They have Lens Studio where they're integrating all of the machine learning, you know, the hand tracking and all these multimodal features, and it's centralized in one location. And then also, like, it is important to note that, like, the reason, like, why AR is ubiquitous anyway is because of face filters, which was, like, Snap from the beginning, right? So I think it's a really good opportunity to get into the AR field would be to experiment with Snap, because once the sort of head-mounted glasses are, you know, publicly available, the only like tool that allows you to rapidly prototype is Lens Studio. I mean, even Mark Billinghurst, who is like considered the number one academic AR researcher in the world, like when he was considering like what tools to use for his students, he was thinking of Unity. But then again, it's like when you use game engines, like there's so many different moving parts that you have to really stay up to date, and you really have to have like this baseline technical knowledge, so it's not accessible. And even with him, like he has his students use Lens Studio. So I mean, my advice would just be to dig into Lens Studio, and there's templates, and you know, you can switch out assets, and there's like a lot of learning you do by building. So that's my advice. Sorry, Hina.
No, you're chill. Kind of piggybacking off of what everybody else has kind of said, I would say some great advice would be maybe like start small and work your way up with skill sets, right? Sure, you can also just go in on a big project. But I feel like with lenses or with AR, you'd kind of want to diversify your skill sets, because there are plenty of different features and techniques that you could pick up. And so it's always good to just mess around, experiment with all those different features. So when you, let's say you're working with a client, right? And they want you to do something. Most of the time, those things, you can't exactly find that many tutorials about. You kind of have to rely on your knowledge to just get it out there, create a first deadline and send it to them like, hey, this is how it's going, right? And I would say also with technology, you kind of always have to kind of stay curious and keep learning. So it's one of those things where you kind of just have to keep yourself ahead of the game. You can't just stay stagnant. Like, let's say you got really good at something, right? But you've just been doubling down on it. You haven't been experimenting outside of that. That could kind of hurt you in the long run. So it's always good to just stay curious and keep learning. And I would say my final one would just be, don't be afraid to kind of express your version of creativity, because sometimes I know we are all, I mean, you could take it with a grain of salt, but sometimes I know we all do tend to cater to the internet where we have to keep things a little kosher, right? Because you don't want things to be taken out of line, which is understandable. So I would say showcase your creativity. Also, just take things into account, but still showcase your creativity. And that's kind of, oh, and a good one also would be try to collaborate as much as possible, because it's great to have multiple eyes on or similar projects or different projects, because let's say, for example, I've stumbled upon this where working on projects, I would not have any idea how to fix something or how to do this. And I reach out to one of my buddies who turns out, hey, he worked on the project with this. And he's like, oh, this is all you need to do. So instead of me spending like hours of just looking at something and trying to figure it out, my buddy gave me just like a 5-minute tutorial, and hey, now I got it working. So that's kind of all I can say, really.
Did we get to everyone? Thanks, Enoch. Did you want to say one more thing?
No, I'm good.
Okay, cool. Sharzi, did you answer? Did you get a chance to answer?
Mine was super quick, just to say about being patient with yourself. So definitely diving in. But I noticed even when I first started a while ago, it becomes very overwhelming or even sometimes intimidating when you see so many amazing creators and just different things happening. And so just being patient with yourself as you're learning and then sharing that with your friends, making it fun. Don't feel like, oh, I have to learn this and I have to just be here by myself and just looking at it. Find more people, go to networking events. And I've realized that meeting more people in this space are like the nicest people I've ever met. We're all like, even if you see someone has been doing it for years, you're like, oh, I'm figuring this out too. Or let me show you this, similar to what Enoch was saying. It's just like, this space is very welcoming. So being patient and meeting more people.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Ed. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say something super quick. I also agree with like collaboration and what Sharzi was saying, finding community, because just like finding people in this space and being a part of the Snaps network, it allowed me to connect with Sharzi. We collaborate a lot. Like, that is my girl. So if you can like find community, it makes the process a lot easier, the journey a lot easier, just to like bounce ideas off each other, brainstorm, connect with one another, and just share skill sets. I think that's also very important.
Yeah, I remember. Go ahead, Joe.
No, Zen, please finish.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, just remembering, thinking back when we first started in this space, it can be intimidating. And so just hearing that there's such a strong community and so many people that you can lean on, and then also just that the tools and the technology are becoming more and more accessible. So just thinking back at how intimidating that first step can be, but just jumping in. Joe, yeah, over to you.
Yeah, thank you, Zen. I did love the last series of answers from our wonderful creators and developers. But I have a tough question. So usually I'm up every single day trying to find ways to, one, ensure that our creators get a chance to monetize, innovate, and build community. And I'm passionate about what I do here at Snap. But I'm motivated by the fact that I get to, let's say, steer the developer community, or maybe give people the opportunity to build, one, on our platform, and also give them the chance to express themselves through this technology. I do believe that AR is going to change our world. It's already beginning to do so. And I do feel like for us to have a diverse set of experiences, right? I'm in a lucky position to really get more developers to really test our platform, build experience on our platform. My question for you all is, what motivates you? What gets you up and running each and every day? What gets you going? Even when times are tough, what gets you moving? We can start with Enoch.
All right, way to put me on the spot. What gets me moving? I would say for me, right, I always enjoyed the concept of AR and VR, right? I stumbled upon it in high school watching some show, and ever since then, it kind of just like kicked off where it's just like, I really want to get more into this, right? I really wanted to learn more about it, really wanted to be able to do just like everything that it incorporates, right? And that's kind of been my whole entire direction, really. Even going into college, I wanted to choose like a career line that would make this even more possible, right? And it did. That's how I kind of met a lot of great people that really got me more into the space and started collaborating with a lot of people. But for the most part, it's just, it's kind of still piggybacking on that feeling I had where I was just like, when I stumbled upon it, I was like, oh, this is really dope. I would love to really be like, make a dent with this type of technology, right? And so that's kind of still been my pushing force, I would say. Like, my motivation is just to still kind of achieve that. And it's surprising, it's still been pushing me to this far, and I'm still going with it. Yeah, for the most part, really just enjoy AR, VR, the whole entire concept. It's what I want to do, and I enjoy it. And so I want to make it more possible for me to stay doing it. So that's my driving force.
And by the way, that was a trap question, because I have a follow-up question, Enoch. What also scares you with this tech or AR in general?
What also scares me? So going more into AR, I did also research more about like the drawbacks of it, right? Where sometimes technology might take a turn where, sure, you have people using tech for good, there is the concept of people maybe using the tech for bad, right? And even though I remember there was this, I forgot what movie it was, but it was along the lines of someone like either like downloaded their subconscious onto like a computer or something. And I don't know, that concept kind of terrifies me a little bit, right? So it's more or less like the more we get more involved into technology, there's just a lot more of those realities become more feasible. And it's more or less like you kind of just have to mitigate it the best you can, or try to be more of the pushing force of the good side of it, right? So that would be where I kind of drew just like a little drawback with AR, but for the most part, yeah.
That's great. Thank you. Let's go to Jasmine. What are your motivations? What motivates you to keep going?
Yeah, that is a heavy question. I would say that, like, well, I mean, this is weird to say on a call, but I'll just say it. So I think, okay, this is weird to say. It's recorded too. So I guess, like, since I can, like, recall, I've, like, had the ability to lucid dream, right? Which kind of, like, informs like my personality and why I'm really intrigued by AR VR. The problem is, like, we spend a lot of our life sleeping, right? Which is great, like at least 5 to 8 hours a day. Hopefully not everyone gets sleep, but then when you wake up, so like when you can lucid dream, you can sort of like control what you perceive. But then when you wake up, reality like could never match like how I want it to be, if that makes sense. And since the theme of this is Black History Month, I mean, especially like when you're a marginalized person. So if you're a person of color, a woman, you know, a Black person, it's very, the way that you navigate is like very different than the way that other people navigate. And so it's that AR and VR can sort of give people agency, right? So like, I'm really intrigued by the overall sort of like maybe transhumanist vision of just like combining generative AI and VR so people can sort of like have that capability that I have at night where you can literally dream up the world you want to see. And I know that people can say that that's like escapism, but I think that like, at least in terms of coping and, you know, giving people agency that they don't have like in the physical world, I think is super interesting. And also what motivates me is like, because like, I think a lot about just like my biology and like what, and my psychology is that I realize like we really only have 80 or so years. Like some people get a lot more, some people get a lot less. And so it's like, what's a way that I could make an impact in the world and like give other people sort of like Catherine was saying earlier, like give other people superpowers, right? So that they can sort of have hope. Because I think one thing that combines like all of humans is like our capacity to hope, right? Like a lot of times that's exploited. But I think that's probably one of the most beautiful things about humans is like our ability to hope and to dream. And I feel like AR is like a sort of kind of like transitory dream machine, because you're still in the physical world. And so there's just, yeah, there's, I have a lot of thoughts in my head about that question, but really it's just, to me, it just like enhances human potential in general. So, yeah.
Wow. I'm blown away by the answers. I feel like, you know, we may have to maybe at some point grab dinner and over dinner, start having in-depth conversations about AR, right? So this has been great. At this moment, you know, I would love to open it up to some of our listeners to ask questions. They can ask questions on the thread. But Xan, do you have anything on your end before we wrap up? We have 9 minutes left.
Let's make sure. Let's go to any questions that the group may have. But those answers were incredible. But yeah, add any questions or comments to the thread here, and we'll get to these.
I don't see any questions at this moment. So let's do a quick round of final thoughts from our creators and developers on the panel. Final thoughts, let's start with Jasmine, then we go to Catherine, then we go to Dea, Sharzi, and Enoch.
Yeah, I feel like I said enough, but yeah, I want to thank Snap for putting this on. I'm really grateful to see that Snap is like committed to you know, diversity, and like tangibly so, like even when it's not in vogue right now, right? So I think it's great, and it shows like a commitment also to like your young user base as well. And so I really like that Snap stays on top of like just the culture in general. And so I just want to thank Snap for putting this on, and thank everyone who's in here listening. And yeah, just keep creating. And if you have any questions, or like need help with anything, you could always ask me, like whether that's with Snap or something else. So yeah, thanks everyone.
Thank you, Catherine.
Yeah, just want to say thank you, thanks Snap and everything, having this talk and having this opportunity to even just like make this cool Black History Month thing and like showing stories or telling experiences in this space. And just even how accessible Snapchat is, I love that about it. And now that it has ray tracing, sorry, really excited about that. But no, thank you for hosting. And yeah, I'm always open to talk to people if they have any questions. And yeah, don't feel free. Don't be afraid to like jump in, explore, and create. And you know, give that superpower. Sorry, I'm a big nerd, big D&D nerd. So give that like superpowers to your audience. So. Thank you.
And Aldea?
Yes, I also want to say thank you. I always love doing these. I love when Snap just pays so close attention to us as Black lens creators. We're a very small population, but it's always nice to feel recognized in doing these type of events. It gives me an opportunity to share like these type of panels with my friends and my own community. And I love when they're so surprised, like, it's free, like I can do this myself. And I'm like, yeah, so now I can teach my friends like how to make filters. And it's just such a good like bonding thing for me to have with my own friends and my own community. So I really appreciate Snap for doing this. It's always fun, and I always meet new people in the process. So thank you. Very, very grateful.
Thank you. Sharzi?
Echoing what everyone's saying, I'm really happy to be on this platform and just seeing how well Snap treats their creators and just like pays attention to them. And even the updates that happen, you can tell it's very creator friendly. It's like, hey, here's this workflow. Here's this thing that we've created. It's very easy to use. So I love that. And also I met Dea and Catherine actually because of this exact network and these platforms, and it's been awesome. So very, very happy.
Thank you. And finally, Enoch.
Yeah, so I would just say first, appreciate it inviting me here to talk today. Working in the AR space has kind of allowed me to just connect with just a variety of like talented individuals, right? Collaborating on really cool projects, right? Sometimes unexpected projects, right? Project ideas. I mean, overall, I would say, so I'm a fan of like immersive tech or just storytelling and creating an immersive environment. And so the fact that Snap has been able to allow me to really cater to this needs, like really express myself, has been great. And it's overall, it's just great to see like how far AR is coming and being a part of it. So yeah, if you're interested, man, hop in. It's fun.
Okay. Well, thank you all so much. Thank you to all the listeners. Once again, I do see some familiar faces: Pedro, Martin, Francis, Craig, Jacob. A lot of folks are listening in. We do appreciate your time. At this moment, I want to say this, right? Because I think it was Jasmine who said, who spoke about diversity in the Snap AR ecosystem. One thing I would like to say is this. When it comes to diversity, me personally at Snap, diversity is not an afterthought. We make sure that we, let's say, bake in diversity and inclusion with everything that we do, especially engaging with our creators. My main goal, our main vision as Snap, partnership team or developer team is developers, any developer who touches the platform has the opportunity to, one, develop their skill sets, able to potentially monetize, able to be part of the community, a vibrant, growing community, and able to innovate along with us. So we do appreciate your time. And those are my parting words for anyone listening in and not just our creators on the panel with us. Thank you for your time. We hope to have more of these Twitter spaces, different flavors of them. So stay tuned and do follow the Snap AR Twitter handle as well. And also give our panel members, Jasmine, Catherine, Dea, Sharzi, Enoch, Zan, give all of them a follow as well. So thank you and have a great one.
Yeah, so thanks again, everyone, for joining. I'm going to close out the spaces in a couple minutes. We really appreciate your time and your listening and your wonderful words. Thank you all.